If we start to dig deeper with the story of Ruth, if we start to scratch around, what we see is that this man, Boaz, is taking seriously a biblical imperative. That biblical imperative was this: to care for those in your midst who are struggling. And he did that by a simple action, in that he allowed Ruth to go and to glean. Now, what I mean by that is, as the harvesters are out in the field and are gathering in the crop, there is stuff that naturally falls by the wayside, stuff that they don't gather. Now, this farming principle in the midst of that was that they weren't to go over and make sure they get every single piece of grain. They were just to carry on the task at hand, that of harvesting. Because for those who came into the midst of God's people, those who came under the wing of the God of Israel, they were able to go there and to glean, to pick up the grain that had fallen. And by that action, they were able to feed themselves. And indeed, as we see with Ruth and Naomi, she was able to feed her widowed mother-in-law. Boaz is taking that biblical imperative of caring for those who are struggling in his midst. He's taking that seriously. But what I want to stress is this: it's quite an inexpensive action, is it not? In the same way that we turned to our neighbour and said kind words or kind gestures, it's quite an inexpensive gesture. In a small sense, it's not very grand. It's something quite simple to do. But as we start to scratch around, as we start to dig deeper in this story, what we realise is from that contact, from allowing people to come into your midst and to gather what is there, what we've been blessed with so richly, there is far-reaching implications. This inexpensive action leads you to a grand story of redemption. From allowing Ruth to come into their midst, we end up seeing her name written into our very history books as the great-grandmother of King David. We're told about a grand story of redemption, of how someone comes to be a part of God's family. Of course, woven through along the way is the fact that Boaz takes great care of Ruth. He goes above and beyond in blessing her so richly. And in the midst of that, we see this wonderful love story that is truly a charm to read. It's only 4 chapters. If you've not taken the time to read the story of Ruth, or if you've not read it for a while, as I had when I picked it up the beginning of this week, I really would encourage you to take the time. But from that small action, something that we see in a small sense, we go through to something that in the big sense is quite staggering. Here's the encouragement. Here's the challenge. Take seriously what we're about. The way in which we bless others around. The way in which, motivated by being a part of God's family, we seek to be a blessing to those who come into our midst. James chapter 1, verse 27 says this: "Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Get serious about being a blessing to those around. Here's the exciting thing: be prepared in our heart to see the wonder of what God can bring about through His people. In Ruth's story, we saw a story of redemption. Someone coming to be a part of God's covenant people. Well, if we think of our own story and the fact that we are part of God's people, think about who it was that for us, through simple gestures, through welcoming gestures, helped us to come and be amongst God's people. Think back to that. Think about how, by welcoming people, by being a blessing to people, they come and see God's goodness and come to know that for themselves. I've been reflecting on this the past week, and there was a story that I heard whilst we were away at the men's weekend that really brought this home for me, about how a simple action is able to create ripples that we don't even begin to know about. actions that go on to be a great blessing. It's a story that took place on a train. I'm repeating this story secondhand, so excuse me if I get any facts just not quite right. But here's the gist of it. There's a mother who gets onto the train, and with her is her toddler. Now, of course, the toddler sat perfectly still on the train and didn't cause any trouble whatsoever, and everyone on the train was delighted and happy. No, that wasn't the case. The toddler was getting a little bit fractious. And of course, people on the train are starting to get a little bit flustered by the fractious toddler. There's a fungusser, if ever there was one. Now, there was a gentleman, and here's the key part of the story that I want to tell you about. There was a gentleman on that train who was working away on his computer and also had with him his iPad. And he started bashing away at the keys and then realised that he was able to get some cartoons that he could show to his child. So he leant forward and he asked the mother, "Would you like me to get some cartoons so your child could watch some cartoons?" Obviously, the mother was struggling with her child but couldn't sit still. Now, the response, I'm told, was one of sheer gratitude. And of course, the response of the child, the thought of getting to watch cartoons on a train, well, you can perhaps begin to imagine the excitement. Now, is that not a simple gesture? Is that not a simple and inexpensive gesture? But start to think of the ripple effect after that. Well, if something so simple can take place on a train, what about in these walls? Or what about as we go out from here? A simple gesture where we are a blessing, where we take seriously our religion, as James encourages us to do, and we realise that God's people can be a blessing. In our service, we're thinking about the different ways and the different ministries that take place in this church. In particular, the paired reading scheme that happens in the local schools, and also Mum and Me. Here are instances where we can be a blessing, where we can take seriously what God has done in our lives and say, "Well, I want to be a blessing to the people around." Think of the child that's struggling with their reading. By the way, I was that child once upon a time, and I would have been so thankful if someone had helped me in the way that the church is helping people today. Think of that child who's struggling to read. The way in which we're just able to be a blessing to them. Think of the mother who's been with her child all week and the thought of just having a cup of tea and a blether and doing some arts and crafts with some other mums all the time, knowing that their child is being looked after. Think about how much of a blessing that can be. But think too, as we look at Ruth's story, what grand tales might follow after that. Surely there's an anticipation and an excitement about what God is doing. So then, here's my challenge to you. You've already been doing it this morning. You've already been a blessing and an encouragement to others. But how might that continue? Whether you're on a train showing cartoons to kids, or whether you're saying, "Actually, I'd love to come along and help at some of the different things that are going along. I'd like to take on to make a lunch for Mum and Me. Or I'd like to take on to help out with a child case." Oh, reading, actually, yeah, I'd love to take some time to do some reading. Put me down for the rota. Start to think about how we can be a blessing to those around. And as we pick up God's word and as we look at the wonder of what he brings about through his people, with anticipation and with excitement, let us be encouraged by what we're a part of. Martin's going to come and lead us through some of the different things that are happening in the church and different ways that we can be involved. But as we come to that, shall we pray together? Let's pray.